Well, a person's last word are often their most profound. What would be your final advice? What would be your final instructions to others? There are several places in the Bible that we can go to. Think about in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, a lot of people, you know, you say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And you know that Genesis means beginning and Exodus means going out. And Leviticus has to do with the priesthood and all that. Numbers has to do with their wandering. But Deuteronomy actually means second law. And it's Moses giving three messages to the nation of Israel right before he dies. Because at the very end he says, I'm dying. Joshua's taken over, and then he goes and dies because God said, I'm not going to let you go into the land. What did Moses tell them? Well, just the book of Deuteronomy is what Moses told them. Think about how he turned to Joshua and told him to lead the people. Joshua's last words, for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're coming into the land. You see Paul's last words where he says, I ran the race. I fought the fight. I kept the faith. I'm ready to be poured out. We saw Jesus' last words. We actually saw it last week when he says, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the earth. I want you to make disciples. Well, we've seen it over and over and over. Well, this morning, we're going to see David. David's final words. And we see he's a man. Is the next slide the right one? Okay. He's a man after God's own heart. He's giving his final instructions. It's not only to his son Solomon, because you'd expect that if Solomon's going to be the next king, he would talk to his son. But it's also to the leaders of the nation of Israel. And as we begin, let's be reminded what we've seen. Now, we're not going to go back through all the things. Next week will be the last lesson in the life of David. And it'll also be, next week will be the last lesson in the Gospel of John. So they're ending at the same time, which is a little unusual. But I planned it that way. But anyway, let's think about the life of David. And we'll kind of summarize it a lot more next week. But when you think of life of David, we've seen great things. We've seen a man after God's own heart. We've seen him trust God in victories when he fought Goliath and when he went into battle and he trusted God and he didn't seek to get vengeance. So many things. But then we saw some bad things, some sad things. We saw his sin with Bathsheba and the death of Uriah, and we've seen him losing four sons, and we've seen the disciplined hand of God in his life. So it's been really tough. We've seen so many things, so many truths and principles we could apply. As we look at this last event, we're seeing some principles we can apply. And here's one of the key. We must pass on God's truth to others. That's the plan. We're going to see what David is going to do is he's going to give instructions to the people and to his son. But some of the instructions are very basic. Obey the word of God. That's what he's going to tell them. But we know that in 2 Timothy 2:2, we're to take what we've been taught and entrust these to faithful people to be able to teach others also. Now, I want you to think about the plan and the program. Somebody teaches us. We teach somebody else. They, in turn, teach somebody else, and they in turn teach somebody else. That's the plan. It's called discipleship. It's the passing on of the truths and the things that we know, and we're helping people to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As we see David at the end of his life, his final instructions, he is passing on God's word to the people and to his son Solomon. And we're to do the same thing. Take what you know. And you say, I don't know anything. Well, why not? Why don't you know anything? You do know. You know a lot. You know the gospel message. You know truths from the Bible. You begin to know how the Bible fits together. You're ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. And that's what we need to be able to do. And we would pass on in the same way that David does it. We pass on to our family truths. We pass on to those in the local body. Well, 1 Chronicles 28, he's to the nation first and then to his son Solomon. And by the way, this is public. What we're seeing in 1 Chronicles 28 is a public meeting. He brings together the leaders, he talks to the leaders, and he talks to Solomon in front of everyone. Before we're through with the lesson, we're going to go to another section of the scripture, and we're going to see David privately talking to his son. So it's pretty powerful, and I think there's some things that we can apply. Let's realize David has called together the leaders of the nation. Look at 1 Chronicles 28. Look at verse 1. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. It says, now David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the commanders of the divisions that served the king, and the commanders of thousands, and the commanders of hundreds, and the overseers of all the property and the livestock belonging to the king and his sons, with the officials and the mighty men, even all the valiant men. This is a long verse, and he put a lot in there. Look what he says. He's bringing all of the officials of Israel. Then he begins to describe them. The leaders of each of the tribes. How many tribes were there? There's actually more than 12. There's 13. There's 12 Jacob had 12 sons, but then Joseph, he's got a double portion. So there's actually 13 tribes. One of the tribes did not get any land. What tribe is that? The Levites. So there's 13 tribes. So he brings together all of the leaders. And then it says commanders of the divisions that serve the king. The king had divided the land in different sections. Then the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds. He had different people who oversaw different things. People who had the property, the livestock, everything that belonged to him, his sons, the officials, and even his mighty men. His mighty men were those men that David had got, and they formed with him when he was on run from Saul, and they became his great warriors. And so he's got his mighty men. He brings everybody together, and look at he's assembled at Jerusalem, and watch what he's going to say. He's going to talk about his plan. Watch. David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brethren and my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. So I made preparations to build it." What's he talking about? What is this home that he's talking about for the Ark of the Covenant? It's the temple. Remember, a tabernacle is a tent. Both the Hebrew word and the Greek word that is translated tabernacle means temporary dwelling. So they had erected a tent in the wilderness in which the Ark of the Covenant was placed in. We call it the tabernacle, and it moved around. David said, "I had it in my mind that I was going to build a permanent building to put the Ark of the Covenant in. That was my plan to do that. And I got everything ready." Notice he says, "So I made preparation to build it." He said, "I made the preparation." But, verse 3, "But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name because you're not a man, because you're a man of war and you shed blood." What? Well, David's job, you remember when he became king of Israel, he whipped the Philistines and he whipped everybody around him and he brought peace to the land, and Israel became the most powerful nation at that time, and he's the great leader, but he spent all his time fighting. God says, "You're not going to be the one to build it because you're the fighter. But your son, whose name is Solomon, which means actually what? It means peace, because he's the man of peace." Solomon's name comes from Shalom. His real name was, anybody remember what his name was? Jedediah. Think of Jed Clampett. Okay? Because that's Jedediah Clampett. Jed Clampett. Jedediah is Solomon's real name. His name is Jedediah, which means beloved of the Lord. And they called him Solomon, the man of peace. And so he says, "You shall not build a house for my name because you're a man of war and have shed blood." Then look what he says, which is the key, and this is to the entire nation. "Of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons." This is verse 5. "Of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." Who's going to be the next king? Solomon. Now, we already saw that, and we saw it last week, we saw that one of the sons that was in rebellion and tried to be the king and all these other things, and we've seen nothing but problems. But God has said Solomon will be the next king. And he tells it here, now, it's time-wise, David tells this to the people, David gets really old, the other son tries to be the king, they have to come back to David and say, "Now who did you say be the king?" And he said, "Solomon's going to be the king," and they had a big party for Solomon, and that's how that all that worked. But he is announcing to the nation that his son Solomon will be the king. Look what he says. "He said to me, 'Your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my courts. I've chosen him to be a son to me. I'll be a father to him.'" He says, God said, Solomon is the man. Look what he says. "I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances as is done now." Now, Solomon's kingdom is really a descendant aspect of David, and God had already promised David that David's kingdom would go on forever. How could David's kingdom go on forever? Because the Messiah is going to come through David, who will sit on the throne of Israel forever. So he says, if Solomon does what's right, Solomon can keep on going on. He establishes a kingdom if he obeys one of the key truths that he passes on, is that obedience brings blessing. Now let's think about our lives. We all say we want things to go well, right? We don't want anything to go bad, right? We don't want bad things to mess up all the time. We want things to go well. And we say, oh, we want a good life. We'd like to have an easy life, but we know we can't have an easy life. When you stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world, it's not going to be easy. And when you seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, there are going to be things that God brings into your life that sometimes they're hard, but they help you to grow. And I think within the last year or two, all of us have gone through some different things that have been hard. We've had to trust God. It helps us grow. But there's a great truth that if you obey Him, there will be what in your life? Blessing, right? And rewards and things like that. But if you disobey Him, there's going to be discipline. When God brought the nation of Israel into the land, after Moses died, Joshua brought them in and they divided them into two groups. And they put one on one mountain and one on another mountain. And on this mountain, they named all the blessings that God was going to give the people. And on this mountain, they named all the curses God was giving to the people if they disobeyed. There is a truth, and we saw it in the life of David, and we saw it when all this sin stuff we've seen, and we've talked about it for weeks. If we disobey God, we can expect what? What do we expect? Curses, discipline, yeah, we can expect it. So David is telling the people, my son Solomon is going to sit on the throne. He's going to rule. I brought you all together. I was going to build the temple, but now Solomon's going to build the temple. And let me just tell you, I'm going to establish his kingdom if he does the right things. Now he talks directly to the nation. Watch what he says. So now in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever. He says, obey the command. I don't know if the next slide has that or not. Yeah. Observe and seek after the commandments. Now, when we say observe, that doesn't mean look at. It means to obey. He says, obey and go after the commandments. Now, God had given the nation of Israel the law. And now, we can't keep the law, we know that, but there are principles and things from the law that we can live by and that they were to live by. He says, if you live by what I've commanded you to do, there will be blessing for this nation. In fact, look what he says. In the sight of Israel, the assembly of the Lord, the hearing of God, observe and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that, here's the purpose, so that you may possess the good land and be able to give it to your sons after you. That they get the land. Now let me ask you something. Did God give the land of what we call the land of Israel to the nation of Israel? Did he give them the land? Who did he give it to first? Who? Abraham. He called Abram and said, leave the Ur of the Chaldees, go to a land that I will show you, and I will give you this land, and I will give this land to you for all your descendants. Is the land guaranteed to the nation of Israel? Yes. He made the same promise to Isaac, the same promise to Jacob, the same promise to Moses. They're coming into the land, even under David. They're possessing the land. Is that true? Yes, but he says this, if you obey me, you get to live in the land. If you disobey me, I will remove you from the land. Now, that's what he says, because he says that you'll get to keep the land, you'll get to possess the land. See, owning the land and possessing the land are two different things. As long as the nation of Israel obey God, they got to keep and stay in the land. Whenever they disobey God, they remove from the land. Now, let's think for just a second. What happened? You know, after David's life, what happened to the nation of Israel after David died? Anybody know? His son Solomon became king. What happened after Solomon died? Does anybody know? Anybody know? What happened to the nation of Israel after Solomon died? It divided. Exactly. They got an argument after Solomon's son came up, and they got an argument, and the whole nation split, and they became a northern empire and a southern empire. The northern empire was called Israel. The southern empire was called Judah. The northern empire never had a believing king. Can you believe this? Southern empire had some believing kings. So what happened if you're a northern empire of Israel and you do not have believing kings? What happens to your people? They get moving further and further and further away from the truth. And God kept warning them. He would send prophets and he would say, you need to turn back to God or else I will remove you from the land. There's a verse that people quote all the time and it has nothing to do with us. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will change their wicked ways, I will leave them in the land. He's not talking about America. He's talking about the Jewish people. He told them, I'm sending judgment to you unless you turn yourself around and you live for me. And they were offering, they had false gods. They were offering sacrifices to false gods. They were doing everything wrong. So in 722 BC, God allowed the Assyrian Empire, the capital of Nineveh, where Jonah went. First time Jonah went, Jonah said, 40 days, the whole city's gone. They changed their minds. They didn't believe in the Lord God. They just said, God's going to kill us, so let's act right. And they acted right, and God didn't destroy them. And these years later, these same people, the Ninevites and the Assyrians were the capital of Nineveh, they came and they wiped out the northern empire of Israel and removed them from the land. Why? Why? Because they didn't obey God. Southern empire, they were doing pretty good. And that's the story where the Assyrians came down there and surrounded the city and said, we're going to kill every one of you. And it's just a matter of a few days. And Hezekiah rolled out a scroll and gave it to God and said, God, what are we going to do? And that night an angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 Assyrians while they slept. When they woke up the next morning, 185,000 soldiers were dead. They said, I don't think we're going to stay here. And they left, right? And God spared the Southern Empire. But guess what? The Southern Empire turned wicked. And what did he do to them? He let the Babylonians come in 605 BC and remove them out of the land. Every time they continually disobeyed God, he removed them from the land. At the end of 70 years, he let them come back into the land. And they stayed there until Jesus Christ came. And as the nation as a whole, were they obedient to God when Jesus came? What did Jesus offer them? He said, I am the what? I am the king. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the King of Israel. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. And as a nation, did they believe in him or reject him? They rejected him. If they rejected him, he died. He rose again. He walked on earth 40 days, ascended into heaven. The nation of Israel, because of their rejection, continued to turn away. And in a short 30 to 40 years, God allowed the Roman Empire to destroy the temple and remove them from the land. And guess what? They were out of the land from A.D. 70 to 1948. And in 1948, for the first time in all of those years, God allowed the Jewish people to come back into the land and to be a nation again. Why? Well, because I think he's getting everything ready. He asked why. Why would God let the people come back? Because we'd say they're still not jumping up and down for Jesus, are they? Right? Okay. Because if you remember in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel showed a pattern. Ezekiel was shown a valley. And in that valley were all these bones, dry bones. And God said, Ezekiel, what do you see? He said, oh, I see a bunch of bones. And all of a sudden they began to rattle and they all came together and they stood up with skeletons and there they were, dry bone skeletons. And he went, I see dry bone skeletons are all standing up. And he said, yeah, that's Israel, but they don't have the spirit in them yet. And most believe that that's the gathering together of the nation to come back into the land. And one day they as a people group will believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So they're back in the land now. It's the foreshadow, getting them ready for what we call the rapture of the church and the tribulation and the Antichrist and all of those kind of things that are going to happen. But I've spent a long time going over something that I wasn't going to go over. But anyway, this whole thing is showing that if you obey, what happens? Stay in the land. If you disobey, you moved out of the land. And so when you see those verses that say, heal my land and heal my land and do all this, it's really the nation of Israel. It's not to us. I think that if you're obedient as a people group, there will be what? Blessing. You think we're obedient as a people group? I don't think so. How about individually? How about as the body of Christ? Yeah. I mean, we're trying, right? Sometimes. And there are people who are in the body of Christ who disregard this book. Right? There won't be blessing. You remember the book of Revelation? He talked to those churches. And some of them, he said, if you do not get back and do what I tell you to do, I'll remove your lampstand, which means he'll remove them. It is not for sure that there are going to be particular churches. If you live by the Scripture, you obey the Scripture, you teach the Bible, you do all the right kind of things, God will bless a local body. You turn away from the truth, you reject the Word, you become something else, there is no guarantee that church will remain. Now, it may remain in the world, but it won't be His body. So, pretty powerful. So, He told the nation, if you obey me, you get to live in the land. Powerful. Now, He turns to Solomon. Watch what he does. Verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, what will He do? Reject you forever. What does He say do? You serve Him with your heart, your mind, the whole person. It's a principle for all of us. What should we do? We should live for Jesus Christ. We should serve Him with our whole hearts and minds. We should say, Lord, I want my life to count for You. What happens? If you're looking for God, you can find Him. If you're not looking for God, if you reject Him, He'll reject you. We're not talking about salvation there if you're already a Christian. We're just talking about people who are seeking not to live for the Lord as a Christian. There is a rejection there. There's a discipline there. It's a very powerful truth. Let me ask you something. How did Solomon do? He started off good, didn't he? Don't we all start off good? A lot of people start off good. You trust Christ as Savior and you're on fire. You're excited. Oh, this is the greatest thing in my whole life. And then as life goes on, you begin to get further and further away. And Solomon became the king and he built the temple and he stood before the nation of Israel and said, oh, Lord God, You've allowed me to build this temple. He went before God and said, I'm like a child. I don't know how to lead these people. God said, I'll give you the greatest wisdom of any man that's ever lived, and I'll give you riches too, and a long life. And he had it all. And then, instead of trusting God, he began to marry all these different women so he would make alliances with the enemy. Instead of fighting the enemy or instead of trusting God to defend him from the enemy, he just married the daughters of the kings of these different nations. He had over how many wives? He had about 1,000 wives, 300 wives and 700 concubines. And he had all of this, and they turned his heart away. God said, God told, when you have a king, the king is not to do three things. He is not to marry many women. He is not to search for gold. And he's not to get a lot of horses. That sounds funny. Number one, the women would turn your heart away because they're not Israelite women. They'll turn your heart away. Number two, you can't trust money. You can't trust the gold. And number three, you can't trust the horses because the horses were the war. He said, you have to trust me. What did Solomon do? He went to Egypt. He got more horses than anybody's ever got. He had so much gold that he said, I don't even use anything silver. I just use everything gold. And he had 1,000 wives. He disobeyed God in three big areas. And it says at the end of his life, he turned away from God. At the end of his life, he built in the temple idols to false gods. That's Solomon. Now, is Solomon a believer? Yes or no? Yes, he is. Is he a disobedient believer when he died? Yes. See, just because a person doesn't stay faithful, then has nothing to do with their eternal destiny. Our destiny comes by faith. You believe in Christ, you're saved forever. But Solomon wasn't. Wasn't faithful. Not that he wasn't a believer. Now, quickly, 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings. We want to see the private words. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to see how David talked to Solomon by himself. We'll do this quickly. This is the charge to Solomon. Look what he says to him. As David's time, this is 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm going to die just like everybody else. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Now, this is what he tells him. You got to be strong. You got to be like a man. You got to lead this nation. You got to be strong. You got to live in God's power. When God tells us to be strong, it's not our power. It's God's power through us. What we do, we not know our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in us. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are to live in the God's power through us. So God says, David says to Solomon, be strong. Be a man. And in a fallen, sinful world, we got to stand strong. Now watch what he tells him. Look at verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. Did you know that if you read carefully, every king was supposed to copy for himself a copy of the scripture? Now that took a while. Let me just tell you, that was not an easy thing. You became king. They said, here's a copy of the scripture. You start copying it. In the beginning. And he had to copy the whole first five books of the Bible. That's the law. And anything else they had by that time. Why? Because he had to have his personal copy of God's word. Because as the king, he was to live by that and direct the nation. Now think about us. How many personal copies do you have of the scripture? I don't know how many I got. I got a bunch of them. I got two or three on my desk, right? You got at least one. Most of you got one in your hand, right? What are you supposed to do with this thing? You're supposed to base your life off your copy of the Word of God given to you. See, when people realize, they think, oh, this is a Bible. This is the written revelation of God. God gave us His Word. The living, eternal God has spoken, and as Prof. Hendricks always said, He's spoken and He has not stuttered. It is His Word to us. Powerful truths. He says, did we get that? Walk according to the scripture. Yeah, go to the next thing. Yeah, keep the statutes, the commandments, the ordinance, the testimonies. Because what does obedience do? Brings blessing. He said, you will succeed in all you do wherever you turn. Now, do we want to succeed in whatever we do? Now, that doesn't mean everything we do is going to turn out right and we're going to pass every test perfectly and everything we're going to do is just right. It means you're going to live for the glory of God and God ultimately is going to work things, because the truth is this, obedience always brings blessing. It always does. So, key principle. Pass on God's truth to others. Number one, that's God's plan, what's found in the scripture. And number two, it's specific charges that we see. And that is to obey the word, to know him, and to serve him. And that's what we're to do. When I see David, I see him in a lot of different ways. I love studying his life. He's probably my favorite section of the Old Testament is the life of David, because all of these principles fit us. But I see David as a boy being faithful to his father and to his family. I see him as a boy killing Goliath. I see him as a young man being a warrior and being admired by people, but apparently it didn't go to his head. I see him as a great leader of Israel. In fact, the greatest king Israel's ever had. What's the flag of Israel look like? It's a white flag, isn't it? With a blue what? A blue what? The Star of David. Jerusalem is still called the city of David. Now, Bethlehem is also called the city of David because David was born there. If David had not been born there, and if Jesus had not been born there, we wouldn't know anything about Bethlehem or Nazareth. But David is the greatest king in Israel's history. That's why the greatest king who will rule the whole world is called the Son of David. So when I see David, I see him as a great man. I see him as a man who messed up and suffered for his sin. And I see him as an old man, because that's the last part, about to die. I see him not even able, they had to help him, prop him up in the bed so he could talk to Solomon. So application, Is there should be one? Yeah. Let's pass on to others God's truth, His Word. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's take what God has taught you, and of course we apply it in our lives, and we pass it on. We take what God has taught us and pass it on. Now, you might say, well, I haven't been taught anything. Well, then you haven't been listening, right? On Sunday mornings, we teach the Bible. In Sunday school, we teach the Bible. When you study the Bible yourself, you're learning the Bible. When you go to a Bible study, you're learning the Bible. You're learning the truths. You need to take what God is teaching you as you study the Word of God and make application in your life. You say, these are truths and principles I need to pass on to other people. What did He say to do? Be strong. Stand for the Lord. In a fallen world, live in whose power? Whose power? God's power. Yeah. We've got to stand for Jesus Christ. We say this over and over, and I know time is up, but let me tell you, it's not easy at all. Is it easy? Anybody find anything easy about going out into the world? And we come together on Sunday morning, we have donuts and have a great time and coffee, and just it's wonderful. We get to hug each other and talk and share and say life's great, and then we walk into the real world, and it's not great. It's fallen. And the people who don't like you. The people don't like you just because you stand for Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples that there will be people who try to kill them because they think they're doing God a favor. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to what? Persecute you. If you stand for Jesus Christ, you should expect it and welcome it. Pretty tough. B, obey the Word of God. Know and serve. Then what He told Solomon to do? Live by the Scripture. Stand strong. What is the result of when you live by the Scripture? Blessings. Next time, the last lesson about David's life, and we'll see, we'll put our study together, we'll look at some key principles, we'll make some applications. Boy, it's some tough stuff. Is David a man after God's own heart? How many of us, don't raise your hands, how many of us would like to be men and women after God's own heart? Boy, I would love to be that. You say, well, why aren't you? Well, that's why I always say, people come up to me and they'll say something like, well, I'm no Bible scholar. And I go, why not? It's in English, right? You can read it. You can study it. We can know the Bible. We can live by the Bible. We can do it. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank You for our church. Thank You for our class. Thank You for the life of David. Thank You for David's last words. And Lord, we want to stand for You. We want to live by the Bible. We want to make a difference for You. We want to pass on truths to other people. We want to live in such a way that You get the honor and the glory. Lord, we know that obedience brings blessing. May we live for You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.